This is the IPSI SDA Media Network.
Today, I'm happy to see all of you. We want to remember the worshipers at home. We thank you for joining us weekly. And I trust that the Lord will indeed speak to us even as we surrender to what He needs to share with us today. Our subject today, or title of the message, is Say It In So. And I would have Liverpoolized one of the verses of the scripture. When we get to it, you will see it. Say it in so. We're going to spend some time in this story today, making four observations from Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through 16. But you would recall last week I made the obvious statement to some that when the Bible was written, it was not written in chapters. That's some editing done afterwards. People just wrote. And so when we look at Matthew chapter 20, there must be a question as to why, the setting, whom, what. And for us to understand that, we should go to Matthew chapter 19. Because if we just read chapter 20, we would not get the real sense as to why Jesus spake this parable. And by the way, for the old ones, you would recall that a parable is really an earthly story, Elder Michael, with a heavenly meaning. And the thing about parables is that they can serve two functions. Contrasting as they may be, parables can conceal. That is, you can hide things from people who don't want to find out things. Parables can also reveal. That is, people who want to know will understand what the parable is saying, the meaning of the parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Father in heaven, as we come now, share your word only as you can, because we come in Jesus' name. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one good, one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." Oh, that sounds like what a Seventh-day Adventist would say. Keep the commandments. "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." This young man responds, "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, It's hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, the disciples, those following Jesus, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, Elder Perry, all things are possible." And here comes Peter. Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. Jesus, please know we gave up our fishing boats, we gave up our nets, our possessions, and we have followed you. What then will be there for us? What's in it for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." And now we come to Matthew 19 and verse 30. Our scripture reading that was read was from the Message translation, and this is what you'll find in the NIV. "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." This is Matthew 19. So if we go to Matthew 20, verse 16, Jesus, in telling the parable, he says, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Jesus connects the story of a rich man wanting to know how he would be saved, and Peter saying, "Well, who can be saved? And look what we have done. How are we ever going to make it?" And Peter was asking a question that Jesus wanted to answer. And so we get to the parable in Matthew chapter 20. And the first 7 verses of that parable says, "For the kingdom of God of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them away into the vineyard." A denarius in some translations says a penny. The Message says a dollar. But it simply means that was a day's wages. In other words, if you earned a penny a day back then, it could have bought you food and gave you some clothes on your back. It was good to keep you. A penny a day, a dollar a day was good. Who can remember the times when you made little money, but you seem to have been able to do much with it? Today you work for hundreds of dollars, and inflation seems to say it's not worth that much. In Jewish time of work, it was a 12-hour day. So you will read, they started at 6 at sunrise, and the day of work will end at sunset, which is 6 in the evening. And within the day, they will talk about the 3rd hour, which is 9 o'clock, the 6th hour, the 9th hour, and the 11th hour, as our story puts it. About 9 in the morning, He went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. Stop for a moment and remember immediately a contrast. It says, he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard and I will pay you whatever is right. The first group, and if you miss this, you're not going to understand what the message is all about. The first group had a contract. $0.01 or $1 a day. That was your contract. The second group was not given an amount. The landowner simply said, I'm going to give you whatever is right. So I say, because there was no amount given, my first point is there was a gentleman's agreement between the landowner and these workers. A gentleman's agreement simply means my word is my honor. Today, I think words don't matter that much. Have you looked at the news lately? When somebody can get up and watch a television screen point blank and say something that is totally 180 degrees different. When somebody can say, stop the steal, knowing fully well nothing is being stolen. And then with a straight face can look at people on January 6th and say, it was just a peaceful protest. Where is your word? No wonder people no longer believe what leaders say. Well, that's the world. In God's house, we need to be careful that when we say something, it stands for something. Our word must have meaning. And here was a gentleman's agreement. You go and work, and I'm going to give you whatever is right. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. That's a gentleman's agreement. The only group is a group that started at 6 that were told, if you work for the day, you're going to get a denarius. That's what you're going to get. The others that came at 9, noon, and at 5 were told simply, just work. You're going to get what is right. And so they had a gentleman's agreement. This story, becomes very strange in verse 8. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon, which is referred to as the 11th hour, because 6 is the next hour when work is over, came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. So we had a gentleman's agreement, and now we have a generous employer. You came at 5. You came at noon. You came at 9. But you are getting money as if you have worked all day. A generous employer. My question to us today in the house and at home, wherever you are, has God been generous to you? Is he a generous employer? Has he given you that which you didn't work for? You didn't give him the time, but he still blessed you. Some folk see blessing only in material things. But we are told to count our blessings, name them one by one. Who can say, Lord, I have health? That's a blessing. Lord, I am home and I don't have to worry about being evicted. That's a blessing. Lord, a greater blessing is that when I get up in the morning, I know who I am. Being in your right mind is a blessing. I don't know about you, but it's becoming a little scary for me. And I'm just 66. I'm not an old guy. But I find myself forgetting things. My wife and I have this ongoing debate about the cell phone. She puts every single thing in the cell phone. My point is, if you have to be reminded by the phone, after a while, you lose your ability to remember. Well, I am not putting mine in the cell phone, but I'm not remembering either. I don't know what's up with that. But I believe just to wake up knowing who you are, you can put your foot on the ground and feel that's carpet or flooring, whatever it is, that's a blessing. Sometimes we are looking for blessings just because someone has a nice car. That's what the Lord blessed me. The Lord gave me a raise. What if the Lord didn't give you a raise, but you still got your job? That's a blessing. It's a blessing that when you go to work, no matter what you do, if you're a carpenter, and you can strike that nail, and your eye is good, and your hand coordinates, that's a blessing. You're not missing nails. It's a blessing if you work at a hospital, and you care for the sick, and when you come in, they smile because they know you bring sunshine into their lives. That's a blessing. He's a generous employer. And here he was, with these folk who had to accept the gentleman's agreement because they were not told how much they were going to get. He simply said, go and work and I'll be fair to you. So now we go to verse 11. When they received it, they also began to grumble against the landowner. And when they grumbled, here is what they did. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. And they said, say it ain't so. We started in the morning. And those who were hired last work only 1 hour. And you have made them equal to us. And we bore the burden of the work in the heat of the day. What is Jesus trying to teach in this parable? Those who were hired first. He begins by saying, those who came last, let's pay them first. There are some things this parable is not saying that we need to appreciate. We'll get to that in a minute. But Jesus' response in verse 13 of Matthew 20, but he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you so envious because I am generous? And then Jesus says, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. What is Jesus talking about? The parable begins by saying very, very clearly, it begins by saying, for the kingdom of heaven. That's what the parable says. It's like a landowner. The kingdom of heaven simply points us to the fact that Jesus is talking about salvation. But some of us, since we hear work and different wages, we believe erroneously that somehow you can work to enter the kingdom. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. How do I know that? Romans 8:3 says, "For what the law could not do, weak as it is, through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." Then Romans 9:16 says, "So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy." And Romans 11:6 says, this is the one that we all know, "But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace." Jesus was making the point that there are no degrees of salvation. There are no degrees of salvation. If you came early or if you came late, everybody is going to get the same wages. Salvation. We sing a song that is theologically incorrect, but we sing it. Have you ever heard a song? "Will there be any stars in my crown?" Stars in your crown is a metaphor. Could you imagine you in heaven and you walking around and you have some folk with stars, big crowns, and a lot of stars, and you only have one or two stars in your crown? Well, heaven is not a place of bling bling. It's not a place for display. If this were correct theology, stars in your crown, Abraham, the father of the faithful, may be tempted to ask the thief who was on the cross when Jesus Christ was crucified. Abraham may be tempted to ask him, "Brother, how come you don't have any stars in your crown?" And then we have Enoch, maybe walking around. The Bible says Enoch was so righteous that he never tasted death. The Bible says God took him. He went straight to heaven. You can imagine Enoch would have a crown that big with so many stars because of his righteousness that he would look to David and said, "Man, I have more stars than you." There are no degrees of salvation. Jesus was making just two points in this story. One, I am the landowner, and I am the only one with the authority to determine how I use my generosity. Can somebody say amen? I am the landowner. And so Jesus gives a great explanation. There was a gentleman's agreement. You work, and I'll give you what's fair. You had a generous employer in that he gave men money who worked only 1 hour as if they'd worked the entire day. And then you had these grumpy employees who came first and said, "Wait a minute, say it ain't so." Because when they saw those at the last that were getting money, they said, "Well, surely we're going to get some bonuses." Jesus said, "You agreed to work for these wages." And so Jesus gave this great explanation. And the explanation simply says, when you look at the earth made new, Rachel would have nothing on Rahab. Rachel could not be strutting her stuff in heaven and saying, "Look at me, Rahab, you know you're a woman of ill repute. I never went this way. Heaven cannot be a place where there are degrees of salvation. And I thank God that in heaven there will be nobody to say it ain't so. Because if Jesus does not respond to salvation down here, then some folk would not be getting up there. So getting back to Mr. Peter, who said, Lord, you know I just had some nets and a small fishing boat, and we sold everything to follow you. Lord, we're worthy to be in your kingdom. And Peter must have felt good if he heard that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. And God says, Peter, understand that whether you came first or whether you came last, the wage is the same. Salvation. So what does that mean for us today? It means I need to be careful how I strut my stuff. I need to appreciate that I cannot earn salvation. The word is very clear. It's by grace we are saved through faith, and it is a gift of God, because if it were not a gift, some of us would have been boasting. And so God says, look at this parable. Look at these grumpy employees. Look at these grumpy employees. Look how they're complaining. I told them from the time they came, you're going to get one denarius. And they said, we're glad to work. But the moment they saw that the guy who came at five getting the same money, suddenly they thought they were being cheated. Where are we living? We live in this wonderful country called the United States of America. And just this week, I heard that Mr. Curry signed a contract for $215 million to play through the 24-25 season. You know what I said to myself? Trust me, somebody in the NBA is going to their agent to say, I have to have more. They may not have his scores. But if you watch how athletes behave, what they got, oh, I love what I have. But the moment someone else signs for more, they want to renegotiate their contract. That's the world. We should not be trying to renegotiate our contract with God, because what he pays us is more than we deserve. So in God's eye, we must never be like these grumpy employees saying, say it and so. Don't tell me that I'm going to be equal in heaven to someone who was beneath me on earth. And God says, that's exactly what's going to be. On earth, you may have degrees, you may have prestige, you may have position, but in heaven, I am not concerned about your title, and guess what? Neither would be your neighbors. What does this mean? Some folk not getting there. Because in heaven, there will be no contention and no strife. So if I want to get there, I must begin to appreciate not to look at my brother or sister in degrees. I am not more righteous. I must begin to appreciate that she is going to get the denarius, and I am going to get the denarius. Salvation, whether you come early or whether you come late, whether you started at 6 or whether you came at 5, God says the wage is the same. And since you heard wages, God says, let me break it down to you this way. If you really want to know, the wages of sin is death. If that's what I deserve. So anything I get other than death is God's generosity. He is a generous employer. So the next time you are tempted to say, God, you're not being fair. The NIV says they charge God with being unfair. Have you ever charged God with being unfair? Because to you it seems like others have been blessed and you are not. God says, let me tell you what you deserve. You deserve to die. But because of what I did, you will live. But you can't live if you are a grumpy employee. God gives us a gentleman's agreement. He is a generous employer. He gives us the great explanation. The wage is the same to everyone. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The thief on the cross is equal to Abraham in the earth made new. The thing that saved Abraham was the blood of Jesus Christ, and the thing that saved the thief was the blood of Jesus Christ. Abraham can't say, hey man, look what you did with your life. I am the father of the faithful. I lived a righteous life. I did good things. The thief on the cross would not have to hide his head or hang his head in shame in the earth made new. Because God is a generous employer. So today, my brothers and sisters, do you ever find yourself maybe not using the words, but saying, God, say it in so. Don't tell me you allow her to get this promotion. I've been slaving. I'm returning my faithful tithe. I'm giving an offering. I have offices. And God, look how she is being promoted. Say it in so. And God says, don't ever lose sight of the fact that I am a generous employer. Because if you are a grumpy employee, the only thing you deserve is death. So God says, in this parable, you can't work for salvation. He says, I am the landowner, and it's a parable about my kingdom, and I have full autonomy as to how I dispense with my generosity. Don't question my sovereignty. Don't get to the place where you're looking to compare yourself with others, because the moment you do that, you'll become grumpy, grudgeful, and unhappy. Say it in so is not for the child of God. It is for someone who lacks any sense of gratefulness. Are we grateful today? That's my question to you. Am I grateful? Can I walk out of here in spite of what I'm going through and say, God, I thank you. I thank you. I know my name. I thank you I can put on my shoes. I thank you I can feel my feet. Lord, I have some needs, but I thank you. We need not be grumpy employees, but we need to be employees who are grateful for what the Lord has done for us. Father in heaven, say it in so. Say it in so when we in our hearts become puffed up. When we are full of pride and envy and jealousy, we look at others and we're saying, Lord, you've been unfair to me just by the way you're treating them. Say it in so, Lord. And God responds, I am a generous employer. I am the landowner, and I am the only one with the authority to determine how I use my generosity. You want a great explanation? Well, let me tell you. In the earth made new, Rachel would have nothing on Rahab. Thank you, God, for being this kind of employee. May we continue to simply be grateful for what you do for us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.